between the 5D and the 7D.
Yeah, I heard about it.
Yeah, what'd you hear about it?
I heard it's a bundle of crap.
Did you hear that?
Yeah.
So anyway, so I don't know. I don't know about the Canon 6D. I don't see it being for me, so.
I don't see it being for anybody. I mean, I'm certain someone's going to buy it. Hopefully that guy's not listening to our podcast right now and writing us some hate mail.
You'd be really enthusiastic to spend that kind of money on a camera body.
Yeah, like in terms of bang for your buck, I'm not buying that. Yeah, $2,100, and then you're going to put one cross-type sensor. I don't know. To me, it just didn't make sense. I think I am decided that I'm going to get the 6D.
Boom. Initial thoughts on using the 6D. Do you like it?
Yes. The answer is I do like it. I love it. There's no comparison.
Okay, drive safe, everybody.
Yeah, that's it. Go get one. If you don't, you're stupid.
Hello and welcome to episode 430 of the Two Hosers Photo Show. My name is Alan in Tübingen, Germany. With me as always is...
Adam in Vancouver. A little sinusy.
Yeah, what's going on in the background there?
Oh, it's probably my family like getting, you know, last day of spring break, getting their crap together to go back to school.
Don't they just go and huddle in the corner and be quiet while you're recording?
Yeah. Yeah, that's what I wish, but it doesn't.
Okay.
Not happening that way right now. And they're downstairs. Great. They're actually downstairs.
Oh, no. That's all right. We don't have to get into the dynamics of living in a house with a family and the yelling from room to room. That's a whole nother episode.
Okay.
All right. Amazon, if you need a bigger house, get it on Amazon. Click through our site. Help us out.
Okay, great. Can you do that?
Any Amazon? Can you? Eventually, you could probably buy a house on Amazon.
Soon to be buying houses.
It can't be. Well, is that? It's not a fun experience buying a house, is it?
No.
How do you decide how much your house is worth?
I think the government tells you.
No, but if you're going to sell it, I mean.
That's a good question. I guess you do what we do with everything now. You go on the internet and you look for other properties in a similar area that have recently sold. You do your web research.
I don't know if that's the thing here. I think it's kind of on the down low.
Okay, you just make it up?
No, I don't know. No, like I don't know that people share that information. I honestly don't know.
Okay.
I don't spend a lot of time, you know, skimming the real estate pages here. So there aren't any. That's the issue. Wow. Okay. A little insight into the German real estate.
Yeah, deep dive into German real estate market.
Mm-hmm. Do not think you're going there today. I don't think I've bought anything on Amazon in a while. So no good stories.
I bought new headphone cushions for my old Bose headphones. They just arrived today. I haven't put it together, but you know how after years of wear, the padding on your headphones, it cracks and wears out, and so it's peeling and stuff. So I thought I was going to treat myself to new headphone cover pad thingies. So I ordered those on Amazon. Now I just have to watch a YouTube video on how to do it.
Oh right,
yeah.
Actually, I need a set for my Sony ones. Oh, like I have had them for a long time, but they're great, and I never occurred to me to actually buy new ones because I thought everything's priced now to just throw it out and buy a brand new full set of everything.
Right. Yeah, these are really nice headphones, and replacing them would be more money than I want to spend.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah, mine are just really, really fine.
Okay.
So, I mean, I will buy the replacements. Now that you mentioned it, I'm going to look through and see, and I'm guessing mine will not be available.
Seems like they have a lot of this stuff, so don't be surprised if they are. A lot of companies have done this. Yeah,
I'm gonna find out with the Sony Dynamic Stereo headphones, the V500s, and see just to see.
Okay, are you gonna do this in real time?
No,
Oh, okay.
No, fake time.
Okay. Let us know. Keep us posted.
So what is going on? Just a quick update from last week's episode. I believe I ranted about the American $2 bill.
Yeah.
I got some feedback from a few people. It turns out it does exist, which I knew. I actually knew that when I was saying it, but I did dare the people who commented to produce one from their wallet and show me in a photo.
Okay.
That it does exist, and so far, no dice. Okay. So they exist. I'm not saying they don't exist. I'm just saying it's not your everyday thing. However. So it got me to look. I said, hey, in Canada, we used to have a $2 bill.
Yeah.
Now a $2 coin. And so I dug out the old vault and I posted a photograph. That's what the $2 bill used to look like.
Yes.
There's one more after that and then the toonie as well. But this is the old time $2 bill. Isn't that a great thing to see?
Yeah. Yeah, it brings back memories. I want to say I was still in elementary school when they went to the toonie. I remember the toonie. It was a year that I went to hockey camp, where Adam Graves, who is a former Detroit Red Wing, actually a Detroit Red Wing great,
and Rangers too, right?
And Rangers. He probably had the longest run with the Rangers. When I was in hockey camp, he was my counselor. He had just been drafted to the Red Wings, and then he went on to actually probably be one of the all-time favorites of the fans for the New York Rangers. Like, he was just one of those fan favorite players. But he was a counselor at a hockey camp in Toronto where, and I link somehow that time to when the toonie came out. So I have to figure out what year that is, but I would have been in.
That was the toonie.
Yeah, that's when the toonie came out, I believe.
Okay, I remember when the loony came out.
Maybe it was the loony. Now, see, now I've screwed everything up, and that story means nothing because it might have been the loony. Now,
loony is like mid 80s.
Yeah, and I was born mid 70s. So, how far apart were they? When was the toonie?
A couple years later, I think.
Okay, it probably was the loony. That whole story means nothing now, but Adam Graves, there you go.
But you know what's funny is my loony story is hockey related as well.
Okay.
My memory of it. I used to throw them at Adam Graves. Yeah. True story.
Wow, that's a good story.
We used to rent the hockey arena out in Ladner, BC. And on professional days, pro D days. So once we turned, I think I was 15, and you'd always have a couple friends who were 16, and we decided, hey, we're all going to, this is like basically create our own drop-in hockey. So we're going to just rent the ice for a couple hours and go out and play hockey, a bunch of guys from school.
Right.
And we did, and then we got there. It's very expensive. Like, the time is like probably like $150 an hour. I collected like $20 from everybody, and then I got out there, and the lady working there said, oh, I didn't realize you were a youth group. Yeah. No, just a bunch of guys hanging out, right?
Right.
And I want to find out what's going on in the background there. I'm interested to know.
We're going to have to keep it down. Can you close the door? The studio is in use.
Wow, just a little look behind the scenes of a professional podcast.
Yeah. Go ahead.
Anyway, we get out there.
Story. Yeah, go ahead.
And she says, yeah, you know, kidding. She says, oh, yeah, your youth group. Okay, well, it's $30 an hour then. Okay, so we rented the ice an awful lot that year.
Oh, wow.
At $30 an hour. But the point is, we paid with loonies, and that's how I remember it came in.
Okay. Oh, and because everybody, I got a lot of fan mail after the last two podcasts where I was having, you know, mid-podcast back spasms.
Okay.
A lot of people wanted to know if I was okay. So, yeah, the answer is I'm okay. And nobody cared. I was kidding when I said there was a lot of fan mail wondering if I was okay.
Right.
But as an update, turns out prescription anti-inflammatories work well, because I was in rough shape for a few days after that podcast and had to get on a plane to go to Mexico. And I was very concerned about whether I was going to be able to do that. But I managed to get prescription anti-inflammatories, and by I'm going to say day three of my trip, I was like a brand new man. I played beach volleyball. I was boogie boarding. And
you look like one of those ads you see on TV, man.
Yeah, it was a big turnaround. So prescription medication worked well for me.
And specifically, what was that?
That's a good question. I think it was naproxen. Should we do a commercial for naproxen? Yeah.
No, I know what that is. Yeah.
One of
you can buy it over the counter in America, though.
You can of a non-prescription grade strength, and then
right. So you have to double up, is what Adam's saying.
Yeah.
I know the guys on our team, the American guys, would always bring over Aleve. That's what it's called. Aleve is the
counter. Yeah, you can get that over the counter in Canada now too. Did you know
that? Oh, is that right?
Yeah, you can.
Yeah, so the guys, the pitchers, all take those to try to limit their swelling. All right, moving on.
All right.
Photo related, I decided to sell my Mark II.
Okay.
Is
anyone going to buy it?
I posted a photo, so we're going to see.
I'm looking at it now.
Yeah. So I'll post that. That'll be on Instagram, which I'm giving away the joke right now, aren't I?
Yeah. Is that really yours?
That's it. That's mine.
Why'd you do that?
It's a Mark II, man. I have a Mark III now.
Oh, so you're too good for it.
Also, it didn't work. Like, it was full on. Like, I thought, oh, you know, sometimes you let stuff sit for a while and then, you know, oh, maybe it'll come back. Maybe it'll magically work again. I don't know if that actually has ever happened in the history of ever, but, I thought maybe that'll happen. It worked even less. So, there's something really, really wrong with it. Like it would not take pictures, wouldn't shoot video. It just would freeze up and whatnot. And so I figured, you know what? There's zero chance I'm going to want to fix this, for the price. I can't imagine, like, you can get a used one that's in good shape for, I don't know, a couple hundred bucks now, I guess. I don't know, probably $600, I bet. I don't know. I haven't been looked for a used Mark II in a while.
Okay. Yeah.
So I'm guessing I'm gonna guess someone's, you know, wants it for $600, but you could probably do better than that. Anyway, so I said, you know what? One day I was like, I just want to see what's going on. I'm gonna take this thing apart. I'm gonna spend like 15 minutes taking it apart, and after 15 minutes, barely made a dent. So end up taking about an hour and a half. But because I'm, you know, nothing better to do, I completely dismantled my Mark II.
Okay. That's not like taking a hammer to it. That was all basically just with small tools. Yeah.
Yeah. Wow. That's inside.
Cool.
I don't know my big takeaway was once I was done with this is like, A, what am I going to do with it? I'll probably figure out some gag where that's not important, but, my one takeaway was cameras are too cheap. If this is what's inside, like, how do you make this?
Yeah, good question. Like, it's the same thing as phones, though, right? Like, when you see the innards of a cell phone, there's a lot going on inside of those devices.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes, there is, but specifically here, I just like going. As I'm taking it all apart, all the mechanical, like you can see the shutter right there in the foreground. You have that mechanical part. You have, you know, how do you, is that like the solenoid there? You see on the left that's, you know, that's what trips the shutter or moves the moves in, and like all the little bits and pieces that have to go into making this happen. It is amazing the engineering that goes on. So I don't even know how they even made one of these in the first place. Who drew the schematics on a bar napkin for this? So kudos to it. It's a great time we're living in if you can get this. Well, you can buy mine if you actually want mine. It's in decent shape. yeah. I forget how many shutter. What do you call it? How many shutter clicks. Count? Yeah. It's like 100,000. It's high. It's like 100,000. So I mean, yes, but small scratch on the LCD screen. Other than that,
yeah, it looks good.
It's in good shape. All the parts are there, I promise you.
Yeah.
So I'm asking 1,900. No tax.
Right. Yeah. Save yourself the tax at least.
Yeah. If you want to meet me at the Tim Hortons here in Tubingen, we'll make something work.
Okay.
Anyways, so there you go. That's what that looks like.
Awesome.
Quick note, the Tonight Show, you've heard of it, right? Sure, I think they heard our smartphone episode.
Okay.
They filmed an entire episode on the Samsung smartphones.
Wow.
I don't actually care either. Did you? Is that going to change your life?
No, but I did watch that movie that you were talking about, and I quite liked it.
I haven't had a chance to see the whole thing yet.
Yeah, it's pretty neat. Well, just the movie's okay. There's nothing fantastic about the movie, but just how it's done and shot sort of wide like that, it's very cool. And how well they managed to make it work is a testament to how good the video, I guess, is. If that's all done on a phone, it's amazing.
And that was High Flying Birds.
Yeah,
yeah, yeah. That's the Steven Soderbergh basketball movie, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Although there's not much basketball in it.
No, it's mostly talking. It's a bit slow, mm-hmm. but it was interesting. I like basketball talk, so it was interesting.
I actually will. I mean to check that out. I'll check that out. But if check out Out of Sight if you want a really good Steven Soderbergh movie. There's many of them. People, everyone's seen the Ocean's 11 movies, but Out of Sight is one of my favorites.
Okay.
All right. I saw your deal there. You're Adam. For those of you who don't know, Adam has put out a was it like a flyer as a posing guide? What would you how would you describe? Is it a course that you're doing?
I don't know what we're talking about.
I'm looking at it right now. Okay. The two hosers present Adam Schwartz's posing secrets.
What?
Is this not you?
No.
Okay, it's in your Dropbox.
What?
Have a look.
It's in my Dropbox?
Well, I didn't know. It's in this episode. Check it out.
Nice.
Uh-huh. Wow. So this is, I guess, I thought this was a guide that you came up with to help people with their posing ideas.
Wow.
So the flower one. Let's start from the beginning.
What is this? Did you do this?
I did not do this.
You didn't do this?
No.
Someone else did this.
This was done by some listeners.
Oh, that's awesome.
Mm-hmm. The joke is out there now. So this was done by Instagram users Marion Maid and JC Russo.
Okay.
I think my understanding is the impetus for this way back was he's been stewing ever since you made fun of him for posing that couple with his hands on the belly. And so this has been going for a while.
Waiting for sweet revenge.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, that's awesome. No, this is...
Something I just noticed, actually, is the proper use of the apostrophe on Adam Schwartz's.
Yeah.
I wonder if that was intentional.
This is... Some of the pictures are really, really well done. I like my hair in a lot of them, so... well done.
You're a boy band. The first one in the flowers, you're a boy band there.
Oh yeah. Yeah. I really quite like, not just the one in the flowers, but the one with the blonde, long blonde hair in,
you look like Jared Leto. If he was in a horrible car accident, I mean.
Yeah. No, I see. I really appreciate this kind of just good detailed Photoshop work. This is well done.
You say Photoshop, but the one on the right, that one's just you.
Yeah, that one's just me.
That's from your earlier career as a hairless male model. How long would it take to get you to be that hairless?
Probably a while. Yeah, that seems like some good manscaping.
So, yeah, I also appreciate the hockey helmet and a dress shot.
Oh, yeah. That seems to go well. That one looks legit.
Yeah, you look really, you look good there. yeah, and the toque with the sweater. That's, you look like Piven in that bottom one.
Yeah. Oh yeah. I'm svelte.
little Ari Gold in that one. So that's the bonus snarky. Lesson is Adam's hand placement drills.
No snarky.
That's right. And you'll actually have to listen to the episode because the cold open that we was also supplied by them.
Oh, awesome. Okay. So I'm going to have to listen to this for a change. Great.
Yeah. Just the first
just minute. Made more work for myself. That's awesome. Thanks, guys.
Good times. All right. Well, it's a fitting day because this is Monday, April 1st. So they got you on April 1.
Okay. Awesome. Well done. Thank you.
All right. All right, reminder for monthly challenge is Portrait of a Semi-Stranger. I've seen a couple of them pop up on Instagram already. Not mine, unfortunately, but I still have to shoot mine this week. But hashtag that #2hosersmonthlychallenge, #heyhosers on Instagram, and we will check that out. It is the most difficult one, but the couple that I've seen look really, really good. And I think it's a very, very useful, I was going to say worthwhile and useful exercise to do. So get out there and make that happen, and I'll do mine this week.
Okay.
Did you shoot outside of Mexico, which you just got back from Mexico, which we'll talk a little bit about later?
Yeah.
Did you shoot anything interesting besides that?
No, nothing. I haven't taken the camera out. Mexico, and then work, and then went and visited my parents on the island this past weekend, but did not even bring my camera, so I've not snapped a photo, hadn't even uploaded my photos until today, and I got back from Mexico a week ago.
You didn't even upload them?
No, nothing. Hadn't touched the camera, got sick. It was just a flurry of stuff.
Weren't you worried that what if we lose the photos?
Wasn't too worried, no. But just didn't get around to it today. Just with when you're not feeling well, it was the last thing on my mind.
Oh, for sure.
Yeah, but I did want to, because we went with friends, I did want to get it done because everybody goes back to school and work. I kind of thought, I'll get them done on Sunday, both for the podcast, but also for my friends. I wanted to send them photos so that, you know, they go back to work. They can show some of their colleagues and friends some of their photos.
So that was your Sunday? So you spent your Sunday?
Yep, and I took a lot of photos, so it took me quite a while, a couple hours.
I hear you, man. But the funny thing is, so you went over to the island. That's Vancouver Island.
Yeah.
Which I used to live there for a while. And so I'd make that ferry trip all the time. And it got to the point where I was like, oh, gotta go on that ferry. I don't want to do it. Like, it just, you know, every couple of weekends, you're like, enough already. I did not appreciate what it was until after I moved here. I was like wow, it is amazing and beautiful. And it's actually funny that, you know, a lot of people over here in Europe and Germany in particular love traveling to British Columbia in general, and so I can't imagine, like, they would, for them it would be like the highlight of the trip would be going over to the island, and there's no way they'd forget their camera. And you get to the point where you're like, well, yeah, I won't bother.
Yeah, that's pretty much it. I had too many things to carry.
Yeah, I telling you, I was there, but not looking back, having been away from it now, you know, the last time I rode the ferries when I was living over here, but we'd gone back, whatever, but I made sure to bring my camera. I think there's like one or two pictures on my wall, taken on that ferry trip. Cause it is like the most amazing place is British Columbia in general, but taking that ferry ride over, if you've never done it, highly recommend it. Make sure you do bring your camera. It's pretty outstanding. Pretty outstanding? Is that even a phrase? Like that's like a John Grisham book.
Yeah, that's sort of somewhere in the middle between nice and okay.
Yeah, it was really, really, really acceptable.
Yeah.
Nice. Yeah. I shot nothing of note. Well, besides obviously the shots of the $2 bill.
Right.
Which I actually shot. I have a 1 and a 5 and a 10 as well. So I shot all the denominations of the old money that I had kicking around.
Cool.
So nothing of, I shot nothing of note, and I shot banknotes. And that's a horrible, horrible accidental pun.
Yeah.
Wonderful. All right, let's get into the photo challenge then. Photo challenge this week is silhouette, based on the fact that you promised you would shoot a silhouette at the sunset.
Yeah, I did.
Mexico silhouette.
Yeah, I did it.
El silhouette.
Si, senor.
Si. All right, we'll start with you then.
Okay.
So here you are. So we're on, this is, where were you again?
We were on the Puerto Vallarta side.
So that's the sun setting on the you're on the west coast then.
I guess, I don't know.
Well, it should be obvious based on that's where the sun is setting. It's not setting over land.
That's true, yeah.
Yeah.
Good point.
Wait, I know you weren't flying the plane, but you didn't know where you were going?
No, I knew roughly where I was going. I've never been to this side of Mexico. I've been to the Caribbean side before. Okay. But yeah, it was very pretty and there was a very nice beach and we'd have a lovely sunset every evening. And I think this was not the first night, it was the second night we were there because we got there the first night it was like dinner time and we didn't go down to the beach for sunset. But this was the second night and yeah, I just these are the friends of ours. They have two daughters, I want to say 7 and 8 or 6 and 7, something like that. And yeah,
they've been on the show before.
I've had pictures of them before. So yeah, they were very cooperative and I wanted to get sort of their profile and they happened to be cooperative for this few seconds and they went in the water holding hands and I didn't really have to coach them or anything and they just kind of looked at each other. And there's a photo I took like a few seconds later where the one on the right leans over and tries to kiss the other one and the other one just kind of ducks away. It was it's kind of a cute photo too, but I like just where the sun was and how it was kind of like giving a little bit of lens flare across her. And I just like that it was very windy. There was always a lot of surf and so hair was always an issue. And in this particular photo, the hair was all very quiet. It wasn't all wind blown. And so the combination of just the way they were standing with their profiles and their hair wasn't blowing in every which direction, which it is in most of the photos, is why I chose this.
So very nice photo. This is a great location to shoot, great time of day. Aside from the surf, which is much, much more mild in the Mediterranean, this kind of reminds me of, you know, being in Italy. And you know, I always make it a point to at least a couple of the nights to be shooting at this time, at this location, because just like you get the reflection off the water. There's so many elements here that it makes it difficult to shoot a bad photo.
Mm-hmm.
And yet, just kidding, you didn't. But is this the big question? Is this a silhouette?
I think so.
Okay, I'm gonna leave this to the listeners because I'm saying. Good photo, and just on a strictly technicality, this is not what I was anticipating you're gonna upload. Okay. I thought it would be a lot more dark.
I did that, and I didn't like it. Sometimes I think it kills it, so I did exactly...
Well, it's not 1978 anymore.
Yeah, I did that. I made it very dark, and then, you know, the colors become brighter, and then it just didn't look right, and so I decided to edit this way. And I had that exact same thought in my head. And I thought, yeah, I think it's still a silhouette. So, yeah, I decided to edit it this way just because I liked it better. And if it disqualifies me from being a silhouette, in my mind, I still thought it was a silhouette. I think in the photos that I put of Mexico, I think I have another one that's a little bit darker. That's more true silhouette of the four kids with my son and daughter also all in line. That's maybe more... typical of what you would think, darker on the silhouette part, but
it was closer. I did make note of that when I saw your
but
pictures.
But I like this photo better. So
this is a much it is a better photo. I think if you were to shoot, like, I can't imagine you editing this and to make them darker, and making it work. It's just not going to work. They're going to blend into the sea. It would be a situation where you'd kind of have to get down much lower and get the horizon around their knees.
Yeah.
And then
the problem was at this beach is that the beach is very sloped down.
Yeah.
So even where they're in the water, like, this is continuing to go downhill. So it just doesn't work. Like, everything you had to shoot was kind of like downhill. And so every photo on the side, same thing, like, you put the taller person on the downslope. So it was a very big decline beach. And so, yeah, there was just no scenario where I could get lower and shoot higher without, to make this work. So it's just kind of the dynamics of where we were and the type of beach we were at. It was a beautiful beach, but you'll see in some of the other photos when you see sort of, how sloped it is. I mean, I'm always leveling it out in the photos, but it's a very, very sloped beach.
Thanks a lot, Mexico.
Yeah.
So yeah, anyway, great photo. I'll leave it up to the listeners. I'm a partial judge, so I'll stay out of it.
Okay. All right.
We'll have a listen. All right. Let's have a look at my not quite the beautiful setting that you had. And so I tried to do something a little bit different. I thought, okay, how am I going to make a silhouette? I actually shot one on my phone, as a matter of fact, not this one. But driving home one night, we had a kind of a cool sunset, and I thought, oh, I'll get a picture of my son in silhouette, which I shot on my phone using the Lightroom RAW setting, and cut it down. I guess at this point, I kind of have to post it. I don't know where it is right this second, but I will post it on there. Just to mention, I did shoot it. Didn't love it, obviously, and thought, how about something a little bit different? You're not expecting this.
No,
this is my son doing some photo assistance for dad.
Great.
Mm. So where on your wall is it? Go right next to your silhouette one.
It's pretty sweet.
It is. I don't know. Were you expecting this?
No, I wasn't expecting this. So you zagged when I thought you would zig, but it's a silhouette. There you go.
It is.
Yeah.
But now in this setting, like the light is not beautiful, which is okay. Just if there was an interesting background here besides just my yard, which, right, with a blown out sky, I think there's something to this. There could be something down the road if I can execute this properly, because like the branches, like the silhouette of the branches look kind of cool.
Sure.
Not again. This is now at this point a proof of concept that there is a photo in here somewhere at a better time of day, perhaps. This could be an element that I include in future photos.
Okay.
No, just abandon it entirely.
Yeah, I would just give it up. Let it be.
Okay. With that, I can't bite my tongue anymore. You're just not a silhouette. Not a silhouette.
Okay.
Too much detail. Too much detail in the shadows.
Okay.
So
it's
really,
it's a tie.
Well, you know, it's upsetting because it was your challenge.
Yeah, that's right. And then cheated.
I wouldn't say cheated. I think you just failed.
Didn't follow the rules.
I think you think you did, which kind of makes it worse. So you could expect a very, very nasty Photoshop job from me coming in the next couple months.
Okay. All right. I think I deserve it.
To get back at that. Yeah. All right. What's up? Oh. Mexico trip. That's your topic. You got back from Mexico.
Yeah.
I saw some of the Instagramming from your wife or your daughter. I'm not sure because...
I think
there seems
wife.
To be, well, yeah, but there's some that I don't know that I follow your daughter on Instagram or should, or if she is on Instagram. I think she might be.
Yeah, I think she is.
I'm not sure. You must follow her then, right?
No, I don't.
Don't you?
My wife's in charge of all of that.
Okay, but somebody follows her.
Yeah,
because you kind of have to keep tabs, right?
Yeah.
How does this go? I mean, again, that's a whole different topic, maybe.
They only have like certain friends that they basically have their group of friends that follow each other. That's how it goes. So it's not random people. You're probably the only adult.
I don't think I follow her, but because I believe I follow your wife, and I think she does a lot of cross-posting or sharing or something.
Oh, okay.
Things I don't know how to do. Like if you gave me $100 and just said, here, share somebody's post, I'd be like, all right, well, I'm not getting that $100.
Right.
Like, I really don't know what I'm doing.
Yeah, I don't have it at all, so I'm not someone who can help.
The point is, I don't believe I do follow your daughter, and why would I? The only reason I would do it is to sort of, if it was my daughter, I would do it to sort of keep tabs on them. But I'm guessing there's a whole other Instagram that they don't tell parents about.
Maybe.
It's got to be some sort of a secret one. But, because a friend of mine's daughter, who's, I guess, probably 2 years older than yours, I follow her on Instagram.
Yeah.
So she's 13, 14. No, she's 14. She's 14. So I follow her on Instagram because she got a DSLR for Christmas like a year and a half ago, and she's taking photos. And I said, oh, hey, I'll follow you. And then, give you some sort of tips on, what I see in your photos, and maybe, happy to help. And then you get on there and there's none of that. It's just a bunch of 14-year-old nonsense.
Right.
So I feel like I was the same, but at 14, you have too much time on your hands, kids. Yeah. What are you doing?
Yeah.
Go work at McDonald's or something.
Yeah.
So there's that. All right. Well, that's my rant. But so I still follow her, but I just do not read anything she ever posts ever.
Okay.
That's just goofy.
Probably wise.
Just goofy nonsense. Yeah. So there's that. All right. So I did see a little bit. I think it was from your wife or daughter who cross-posted, and it looked like you had a good time. So I don't know. Were those? I guess those are pictures that she shot live on her phone and shared.
Maybe. I don't know. I don't know any of it because I don't see any of it because I don't have any of it.
Right. One was actually a really great silhouette. So that was nice. That was nice to see. Probably just by accident.
Yeah.
So tell us what tell us about Mexico. Is spring break?
It was good. Outside of the fact that everyone in my family got sick at one point or another
on the trip.
Well, Sarah first, and then Jack, and then Lisa, and then when I got home, then I got sick.
Okay, but getting home, that's fine. That happens. No, but
yeah, but it was the same Mexico sick.
Is it? Okay, so was this Montezuma's revenge?
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, no.
Yeah, so everyone basically. And then we traveled with another family of four, and two out of the four of that family got sick on the trip too. So it was just, that was the downer, is that at one point or another, it was like someone was always going down. It was like, oh, another one bites the dust.
Oh. Well, on the plus side, how often do you come back from vacation having dropped a couple pounds?
Yeah, that's true. I had lost about 4 pounds. I think I've put it back on now, but so that was the damper on the trip. But outside of that, the resort was great. The beach was amazing. The surf was fantastic. Like, I wasn't counting on that. I wasn't counting on such a beautiful beach, and spent most of our time in the ocean boogie boarding. And we had a really great time outside of the getting sick, which you can't ignore, because when that happens, that definitely does affect your memory of the vacation. But when I just look at the photos, because I didn't take photos of anyone, being sick,
right,
the photos tell a story of we had a good time.
So you went down, so it's a resort, like it's one of those ones, like a fenced off thing, or?
Yeah, well, not fenced off, it's all inclusive. I guess it is on the one side. Like, on the beach side, it's just resort after resort, so you can kind of walk along the beach for miles and you'll see like lots of different hotels and stuff. But from the front access point, yeah, it's all like you can't get in unless you work for the resort or unless you're a visitor of the resort.
So not a public beach.
Not a public beach.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
Okay. And so you're staying at a hotel, obviously. And which,
yeah, like which an all-inclusive resort. Has pools, has like, all kinds of stuff, like tennis courts and volleyball courts and everything you can imagine. Has like, clubs and restaurants and the whole deal.
Okay, so the one resort is huge, or is the chain big of resorts? So like you can hit different, go to different resorts?
Ours was like our resort, but it was, big enough that we didn't even get to all the restaurants.
Like you get a wristband and that's how they know.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay, I see. I've never been to one of these all-inclusive things.
Yeah, it's
I've been to a semi-inclusive thing on Mallorca. But that was a little bit different.
And I think it's probably a good thing for you know, people who are big drinkers, I'm not a big drinker. And so having, you know, all you can consume alcohol really isn't much of a thing for me. It's not a big deal for me because I'm not going to drink. I'm at a couple drinks a day at most. And then some days where I probably didn't even have a drink. So, and same thing with, you know, all you can eat, you know, go to restaurants and order whatever you want. I'm still just going to order the, you know, have a standard meal. So I don't know, a little bit of that all-inclusive thing is lost on me. I feel
you are a bit of a grown-up, my friend.
I guess so. Yeah, maybe when I was 18, I would have been able to torture a place like this. But
oh, yeah. They'd see you coming and just lock the gates.
But now it's just like, man. I just can't do it. Yeah.
Well, no, but see, that's the point. Is guys like you now offset the younger you, and just they call it, that's the way they make their money. Breaks even.
Yeah, yeah.
Because I feel the same way. Like I would go and it's free. I better do it. You know.
And yeah.
It's why I don't go to all you can eat sushi anymore. Like, do that when you're younger, but now I'm like, forget it. I'm not trying to win here. Nobody wins.
Yeah, it's very true. Yeah. Or I think if you do the booze thing hard one day, then you're just like, yep, I think that's good. I think I'm good.
Well, then you have to go hair the dog, man.
Yeah.
No, it's yeah, you can't do that. That's at your age? What, are you kidding me?
Yeah.
I went out with the boys on Saturday night after baseball. A couple of us went out and ended up not getting, you know, not boozing up too bad or nothing like that. But just the staying out late part was difficult. I ended up getting home around 3:30 in the morning, and
it's way too late.
Yeah, no. But even so, none of those guys have a 5-year-old son waking them up at 6 a.m.
Right. Yeah.
That's 2.5 hours of sleep, and I was like, okay, well, that's my Sunday.
Yeah.
See you later. Although, I still managed to shoot a silhouette photo in that state. So, you know, 1-0 me.
That's right.
Okay, so you spent all the time in the resort, like you're not out traveling around seeing, you know.
Yeah. No, we didn't do any of that. We just hung out at the resort. Basically, it's like, you know, a beautiful beach, and it's like a beach day every day. If you want to go to the pools, or if you want to, you know, go to any one of the restaurants, you just do that. But more or less, it's like, you know, the kids down to the beach and the pool, and they always have activities around the pool. And I mean, if you want, there's kids club and all that stuff. Our kids really weren't interested. Most of the time we were playing at the beach and in the surf. And then, you know, it's the sun is a different animal down there. And so after you're in the sun for a couple hours, you got to get out of the sun. So we'd take breaks and go inside and have a break from the sun, but it was basically just at the beach during the day, and then you know, playing games or whatever, cards and stuff in the evening, and then, you know, bed early and do it again. That's sort of what the vacation was.
That's what vacation's supposed to be, and I happen to love the beach. Like, this is kind of like the dream, vacation for me. It's just, hey, you're you know, got a couple minute walk right down to the beach. That's awesome. Like, that's what we do when we go to Italy or wherever else we go, and it's just, let's get by the ocean, see how close we can get, and spend all of our time down there. I can't wait to get down there, and don't like to leave at the end of the day. So going in, you know you're going to Mexico. You get to fly down, which you know, is one thing, obviously. What does that mean for equipment? What do you take with you?
Well, this was a unique scenario because I was in really rough shape, as you remember from the previous podcast. So I could not bend down. I could not pack my gear. I couldn't do anything. I was useless. And so I was on a lot of meds, the anti-inflammatories, muscle relaxants, and I was debating on whether I even brought a camera because I didn't know if I was going to be in any shape to actually be doing photo-related stuff. And so I just basically decided, like I said to Lisa, I'm like, okay, well, you're gonna have to pack this stuff. So take the 5D Classic, which is what I brought, and the 50 mil lens, and threw that in the bag. I threw my point and shoot, the RX100, in the bag with it. I said, I might take some video because the 5D Classic doesn't take video. So I thought, oh, I'll bring that for video. And then I brought the little underwater camera. So I threw those three things in the bag, and that's it. No other lenses, no flashes. Just thought anything that I wasn't worried about bringing near water, because between the pools and the beach, I knew the cameras I was going to use were going to be all around the water. and I didn't want to have my nice camera along with me, and I didn't want to risk having more than one lens that, you know, might take a hit. I wasn't going to be changing lenses or anything, so I thought, okay, what's the lens that is going to allow me to do everything? And I was thinking more along the lines of, you know, group photos and photos of the group of kids and whatnot. So I thought 50 mil is the most versatile lens.
Okay, so the RX100 there.
Yeah.
What is the effective focal length of that? Now, it's a micro four thirds or whatever the sensor size is. I don't even know what it is, but it's smaller.
Yeah.
But so what is the zoom range on that?
I'm not even sure off the top of my head.
But fairly wide to relatively telephoto.
Relatively. I don't know what the telephoto end of it is. Gosh, I don't know. I'm drawing a blank right now. But I'm going to say effectively like 20 something millimeters to, I don't think it's, I can't imagine it's more than 200, but.
Oh, that would be, I'd be surprised if it was that. So I'm assuming that it does cover the 50 millimeter range.
It does. Yeah.
But okay, so why the redundancy?
Because I like the SLR.
No, that's I feel the same. I'm trying to think of what I would do in this scenario. Again, I would not be comfortable taking my Fuji the X100 down to the beach, which I have done sparingly. I'll bring it down in a plastic bag. There's the sand blowing around. I would be very upset if that camera went down because of, you know, salt water spray or sand or whatnot, and so yeah. I'm a little more careful with it. The RX100, the older version that you have, is I would say, you know, fairly easily replaceable.
Oh yeah, it's already it's paid for itself already.
Right, so I would have no issue taking that down. So I'm trying to think of what I would take, and I love shooting with the classic, the 5D classic, but in that scenario, I love the 85mm.
Yeah, and I kind of considered that lens as well, but I was only still bringing one, so that was kind of the lens I was weighing, whether it was going to be the 85 or the 50, and either way, I mean, you make it work. Like if I had brought the 85, it would have been fine. Or just my photos would have been a little tighter, but they would have been fine. But as it turns out, I don't know. I've used the 85 less than I use the 50 these days. I just, that focal length is just great. So again, I don't think there's a wrong answer there, because the 85 is great. As far as a portrait lens, the 85 is the best. But when you're just going to be constantly shooting groups of people,
right?
I think the 50 millimeter is better when you're talking about groups.
Yeah. I mean, obviously, you know, I have no friends, so it's go with the 85. I might even go 135 at that point.
Yeah.
That big of a loser. No, I think the right, there is a wrong answer, and the wrong answer I think is to bring all your lenses.
Right. Yeah. Well, especially with sand and with salt water, I just think that you want to limit your damage potentially.
That's exactly right. What's the ROI? I mean, what do you get for, what photos do you get? What, you know, what's the potential downside risk? And so this is basically the combo that I would bring is, whether it's the 50 or the 85, that'd be the toss-up, because there are some shots I really like with the 85, and it doesn't necessarily even be, not in tight. I mean, we're talking wider shots, but the beauty of being in a location like this is you can get really far back, you know, because the beach is pretty, you know, expansive.
Right.
And that's a word, right? Expansive. Right. And so you can get back and get some really interesting shots that you wouldn't normally get. On the other hand, I'm looking at your pictures. The 50 mil looks like the one to beat. So let's have a quick look through. There's a shot of your son that reminded me very much of a shot of my daughter from a few years ago, doing almost the exact same thing in the wave.
Oh yeah.
Although goggles in the ocean, can you do that? Is that allowed?
It sure is. Yeah. Okay. After you get the salt water in your eyes a few times, you decide that it's much better when you have goggles on. Although he's not actually wearing the goggles in this photo. But,
yeah, he's just cool kidding it, yeah.
Yeah, but that just gives you an idea. Like, some of the waves were massive. Like, it was red flagged. There's probably 2 days of the 7 that were there, where they red flagged the boogie board. Like, you could not get a boogie board. You had to have your own. Fortunately for us, another family who was on their way back home to Vancouver about halfway through our trip had bought boogie boards, and they bestowed them upon us. So we were able to boogie board even when the red flags were out, but the surf was massive and you just got hammered out there. So, you know, seeing this wave with Jack, this is a tiny, tiny wave. That he was out. And as we'd go out deeper, it was pretty fun. I mean, it was fun. And sometimes you just had to come in, cause it would just get beat up so bad trying to get out there with the waves breaking on top of you.
Which I do love, though. I love the ocean for that, in that respect.
Yeah.
Which,
yeah.
So even like when we're here, we go down and you go to Italy, and it's like, obviously there's nowhere near this. The Mediterranean, it's like a lake pretty much. So it can get a little bit, you know, a little bit rough, but nothing crazy. And then you go out to the Atlantic side of France, and it is crazy out there. Like, it's dangerous out there.
Right.
A lot of riptides that are very, very dangerous. So I do miss it, though. I like the power, the raw power of the ocean. Now, this is the RX100 you're shooting with, I'm guessing?
With which?
The one of your son in the surf.
Nope, that's all 50 millimeter.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so all the photos are 50 millimeter with the 5D Classic. Yeah.
And
so
something first like day an was, F8 range?
Yeah, I think so. On that first day, it was kind of overcast, and I think that one's is something like an F8 or an F7. And then the rest of them are a lot more wide open. A lot of the time with the 5D Classic, I mean, the thing that you're always battling with the 5D Classic is the ISO capabilities are very, I don't know, rudimentary.
Limited.
Yeah, very limited. And so you have to shoot oftentimes at F2 or, you know, F1.8 sometimes to get an image, because you can't push the ISO very far. Maybe 1250, that seems to be as far as I can really push the ISO before you're getting images that are just all digital noise. So
I stay away, because I stay away from, I think 640 is the highest I go.
Yeah, I'll go a little higher.
Unless I have to.
Yeah, I'll go to 1000 usually if I have to, especially in the evening. When you've got that great kind of blue hour light, you could push it a little bit. It all depends on what you're doing. And unfortunately, with kids, they're not standing still very much. So even in the evening, I mean, I've got a couple of photos of the kids kind of playing in the waves, and I think those are shot at about 1/250th of a second, because just trying to get something where I can freeze them. And so a lot of photos will be blurry, and then you'll get 1 out of 5 that is actually frozen, where they just kind of are moving slow enough that you can mostly freeze them. But with that camera, there's definitely limitations as far as what you're able to do because of the limited ISO.
Which is still reasonable. I mean,
yeah.
You picture back in the old days, what you'd be shooting with, and, you know, you're shooting old film, or like I shot your wedding on film, and it was a big deal. I think black and white was ISO 1600 film that I bought for that,
right? Like
the professional stuff. And yeah. I think they had just come out with this fancy interlock grain ISO 3200 with the color. So imagine that, like that, and that was like the height. Oh my God. Like that is, I think that was about $18 a roll too. So.
And a good example of just how good, you know, this camera still is that the last photo, the photo of Sarah and Jack and I, which is a photo I handed off my camera. It's not even to my wife, but to our friend. This was a night where my wife was down. Otherwise, she would be in the photo. So she was the sick one this night. And this is shot at an F2 or F2.2, something like that, in the dark. Like, this is so dark at this time.
Right.
And, you know, with the 50 mil and that camera in the dark, we got one of my favorite images of the trip. And so it's just, again, this is so great. And you can't do this. This photo... You can't do this on the RX100. No matter what you do, you're not getting this photo on the RX100. So,
no, this was the photo that made me think that you shot with the 85, actually, just because of the. I didn't realize it was that dark, and I guess you shot like an F1.4 or whatever.
I was just pushing the boundary of what that lens and camera combo could do at this time. But yeah,
so what's the key to getting this shot, getting it in focus?
Because
F1.4 is like, obviously, you can see the depth of field falls off very quickly. Is a very distinct possibility that one or more people would not be in focus.
Yeah, I think the try to as best you can line up your eyes. Like we had this in our mind that we knew we were going to have to pretty much be very lined up, and so we did our best as subjects to line ourselves up to keep our eyes in line, and then because we're probably shooting at, you know, 1/100th of a second or 1/180th of a second, whatever this shutter speed is, you know, telling my friend who was taking this photo to just shoot a burst. And hopefully one of them, the camera's going to be still enough.
Well, this wasn't your wife?
This is not my wife. She was sick this night. Yeah.
Oh, okay. Yeah. You said it out loud. I just wasn't paying attention.
Yeah.
I had assumed it was your wife because, she's not in it. And also it's in focus. And, and you have a, you know, you didn't, there's no way you disabled the back button focus.
Nope, did not.
So you had to teach your travel companion here.
Yep.
To do back button photo. Did he know ahead of time? Have you hung out with him before?
This is she. This is my wife's friend. And this is the last night of the trip. And so she had practice through the other night. So she was quite adept at the back button focus by this point.
Okay. Because that's always I've been through this. I remember shooting with, I want to get a shot with me and Mr. Ferrari a couple years ago. And, remember, I was shooting with my camera, and I shot a photo of like the producer and the other cameraman with Mr. Ferrari, and then I wanted one, and so I handed my camera off to the camera guy, other camera guy. I said, "Hey, do you know about back button focus?" "Oh yeah, of course I do." Snaps the photo, and then Mr. Ferrari leaves, and he says to me, "What's back button focus?"
Perfect.
It's like, okay, so I have a blurry one then.
Yeah,
and. Which I did, a slightly blurry photo of me and Mr. Ferrari, and again, I didn't really care because it's not going on my wall, but I thought, oh, okay, so you don't know what back button focus is. It's not that common, and he has the same camera as me. It wasn't like, you know, all of a sudden he's got some sort of, you know, he's not shooting on an Arri Alexa or something like that. He has a 5D Mark II as well, and back then it was my Mark II that I'm selling. So if you want that picture... That's it. That just drove the price up, actually.
Yeah, sure. You got a limited edition.
Has photographed Ferrari. So sure. There you go. No, this is a great photo. Like this photo is worth your whole trip, right?
Yeah,
there.
Yeah, absolutely. I agree.
I figured out why you have the back problems, though.
Yeah. Yeah, I had to crouch right down. Yeah.
Your posture is terrible in this.
Yeah.
But very nice. Great time of day to shoot. And I mean, you're still getting that little golden flick of light from the sun, even though you're telling me it's technically blue hour.
Yeah, very blue.
But you're still getting that when you white balance it out, you're still getting that very, very nice little golden flick of light on there. That's a great shot. Real quick, we'll go through. There's the silhouette one, by the way.
Yeah.
A little closer to silhouette there.
A little closer, yeah.
Like it. And then the shot of your kids with the friends on the beach, like again, what a great time to be shooting.
Yeah. And that's kind of what sort of, you know, I was doing for the most part. The camera didn't come out a whole lot during the day. So the two evenings where we came down to the beach for sunset and the blue hour afterwards. And then I took the bulk of our photos then, cause it was just like shooting fish in a barrel. Like it was just,
right.
You know, great light, you know, nice scenery, and then just do that. And I took a couple of photos, you know, at the pool and whatnot, because, you know, the wife and my wife and the other mom will like to probably put together like a little photo album book for their families. And so I did want to include a few, you know, bits and pieces.
Well, you want to have those photos, but you look at them like the one of your friend there with his daughter in the pool on its own. It's a fine photo. Like if anybody else shot this with their phone, for example, they'd be very happy with it. Like, oh, hey, this is nice.
Yeah.
Then you start to compare it with the blue hour and you think, oh yeah, no, that light is terrible.
Yeah, exactly. And that's exactly why I put that photo in, just to say, yeah, this is why I didn't include a whole bunch more photos during the day. Cause you know, it's just,
right.
it's not pleasing light versus, you know, the one of the two girls with their arms around each other, you know, at magic hour, or the girls running from the waves at blue hour. Like it's just, it's that those are the times to shoot your photos. And,
right.
And yeah. And like I say, to camera aside, you can get good photos pretty much with any camera. If you bring it out at that time of day and you're in a nice location.
Yeah. But go ahead and bookend your photo shooting morning and night. That's the idea. But the blue hour here looks fantastic. And
yeah.
So the beach, there's always, even if there's stuff in the background, it's not too distracting. So you don't have to worry too much about that. It looks great. There's the shot. Do your friends, are they, I guess one of the exciting things is they have, for them, it's all inclusive with a photographer as well.
Yeah. So
like they have you following them around, snapping good photos.
Yeah. Yeah. They were quite happy with that. There was a on-site like photography service you could, and a lot of people were doing it, and you'd book it. I don't think it cost anything to actually have the photographer come out at in the evening and do the session, and then you would just obviously buy the photos that you wanted or buy the package. So it was essentially like a free sitting right. fee, but nobody was going to go and do it and then not buy any of the photos, I'm sure. Right. So that was the thing, and they would just basically come grab you at about 6:30. And sunset was right around 7 o'clock, and they just go down and shoot, the last 20, 25 minutes of the sun. And then the first 15 minutes or so of the blue hour. And there you go.
Okay. Yeah. Well, see that as a photographer, that'd be a fun job to have. If you're a young guy or woman, like just a young person is what I'm trying to say.
Sure.
As a word for it. If you're older and maybe you don't, or maybe if you're older and you want to live down there, I can't imagine doing it, you with a wife and kids, and cause you'd want to be at the beach with your wife and kids, but for a job, that'd be a pretty cool gig to just be at the beach every night shooting photos for people.
Yeah. And the interesting thing was that, just seeing what they were doing, they were all shooting with flash. And maybe this is the difference between, what I would have done, 5 years ago and what I would do now is I never felt the need for flash. Like I never,
right.
I never thought, oh man, I wish my flash was in my bag. I thought at some points, man, what I could do with my, 6D and just what the ISO capabilities, what I could do with that. But I never thought, oh, I need flash here. So,
I see it all the time, and I would not have even packed my flash.
No, neither did I. I didn't pack it. Yeah.
Yeah. It would not occur to me like, okay, which flash should I bring? On this trip, no. If I was driving, like as we would, like again, go to the Mediterranean or something like that, we're driving down, so I'll always have room in some little nook or cranny to throw like one of my cheap $20 off-camera flashes, which I might throw in there just in case we can get some cool portraits in, but it's not a priority. And so if I was flying down, no way. Zero chance I'm packing that, but don't need it.
All right,
shot of your wife, and now just the last little thing to wrap up is a shot of you and your wife, very nice, and it reminded me of another beach shot, so I went and put that in the Dropbox as well.
Oh yeah.
So there you go. So that's 15 years apart, those.
Yeah, that was... Because this photo was taken on our anniversary, the one you took, but also so was the other photo was an anniversary shot. We had our
The one I took was actually part of your engagement.
Oh right, that's right, engagement photos, and then the photo,
so that would have been like August or something.
And then the photo we took was actually on our anniversary, so that photo was meant to be an anniversary shot, 14-year anniversary. So not quite 15, so 14.
Right. Well, no, but the picture was in all fairness to me.
That's right. The photo would be 15 yeah. years. Yeah, good job.
There you go. So I feel like I could have left a little bit more room on your right shoulder side.
Yeah, it's a little tight, but it's good. The light is great.
It is nice. Well, that's down at Kitts Beach, and then where you were living at the time, or just had moved away from there, possibly.
I think we were still living there, yeah.
Yeah, it could be. And so, again, I had no LCD screen to look at. This was shot with the Canon FTB, probably, I'm guessing that was the 135 lens I would have shot with, maybe. Maybe not. I can't remember back then, and there's no EXIF data on that. I didn't write that one down. So it might have been, couldn't have been a 50 mil, could it?
I don't think
it must
so.
Be.
No.
I don't know, it must be. 50 mil, hard to say, because... It would have been ISO 100 probably, and on film, of course. In order to get that depth of field, would have had to have been like an F2 probably F2.8, because I know it's definitely an F1.4 50 mil that I had, still have. So okay, that would have been really fast. And you're limited by the 1/1000th of a second shutter speed. So I don't know. Hard to say what that was. We'll find out. We won't find out. We won't find out at all.
We'll never know.
So if it's all right with you, I'll post both of those and sure, people can side by side them. All right. Well, thanks, Adam. Thanks for sharing the Mexico stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah, I should have wrote that down. What to say there. Challenge for next week is our monthly challenge, and that is a portrait of a semi-stranger. Have you shot yours yet?
Yes, I shot one. Oh. Shot a fellow in Mexico.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Turns out he was from Vancouver.
Okay. Yeah. So was he someone that you had met a couple times, and then on day three you're like, you know what, you can be the guy?
No, he was a complete stranger that I met down at the beach one morning and asked if...
Okay, so complete stranger.
Complete stranger.
Not a semi-stranger.
Wasn't semi. Am I going to get disqualified again?
Depends on if he's in silhouette or not.
Okay. He's not.
Okay, we'll see. We'll see how this goes. You might go to back-to-back failures. We'll see.
Okay.
I'll leave it up to the listeners, not to me. So hashtag that Two Hosers Monthly Challenge or hashtag Hey Hosers, and we'll talk about that next week on the show. That's it. Websites. Adam, where can people go to find your stuff?
AdamSchwartz.ca. And what about your stuff?
You can find mine at AlanAtridge.com or the two of us at TwoHosers.com, where you can go to find all the links, photos, everything we just talked about. And now I have to get to work putting this together, because we're recording this last possible second to get it out on our regular time, which is about half an hour from now.
Great.
So, yeah, hopefully you're going to get that file to me and I'll get this edited and get it out on time. We'll see.
Okay.
And that's it. Oh, and of course, big shout out to JC Russo and Marion Maid for their Photoshop work this week.
Sure. Yeah.
Check it out. JC is going to post it on his Instagram, as I'll post it on our site as well. You guys can check out what we're talking about.
I'm happy to be the butt of the joke.
The butt? I think you're the clear winner in this. Nice. The only thing worse than being talked about is not being talked about. That's, you know, right. That.
Yeah.
And that's it. Until next week, get out there and make better photos.